Anyone that knows me or has had any prior knowledge of me as a person knows that I stand up and respect the RoboCop whenever given the opportunity. And from this day forward, only the original RoboCop will be played in my house, and I pray that you do the same. Oh, may God have mercy on you also.
Not need to remind each and every citizen of Rapture that free enterprise is the foundation upon which our society has been established.
Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always done for death, pain, and misery.
Our men are running from the battlefield. A shame for this place!
Welcome to the Video Destruct Podcast. Yes, we're back. This is the first of a brand new format, I believe. Correct, Oz?
Yep.
We talked about this last time. We played an old-ass game from the PS1 era.
Yep.
Called One.
Yes.
And we will be talking about that game later on in the podcast. Just talking about the, what that game was about, what it meant to you when you experienced it for the first time back in the day. I'd never heard of the game ever, but
it's a weird oddity of a game. I don't necessarily know. This is kind of a soft launch for the new format.
Sure.
It's not something that we'll dig into too deeply because there's
sure.
It's not a game you'll drone on about for an hour
right.
or something.
Right.
But that's a very, very cool old-ass game.
Yes.
That I don't think most people have played.
Yeah.
Weird game that was like critically hailed in its time as
right.
very cool.
Yeah.
It had a pretty famous official PlayStation Magazine demo. Like, everybody I knew played that demo, but almost nobody I knew bought the game.
Really?
It was just one of those things. Mm. Holiday 97, man, that's one of the best years in video game history.
That's true, yeah. That
like,
was huge.
It was the most crowded place.
Yeah.
to be a game that people don't know about.
Right.
There were a lot of games back then. It was kind of pre-big AAA.
Right, yeah.
So there was just a lot of A-grade games.
Right.
And everything had about the same budget going into it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just had to make hard decisions. Were you going to go with an established franchise?
Right.
Or something that was getting a lot of TV press?
Yeah. It was kind of in the time of the new war, of the Sony Nintendo war during the time, because of the PlayStation.
And the PC was still... That was... The PC was red hot at
right.
that time.
Yeah.
Through about 2000, some would argue maybe about 2002, the PC was very, very powerful.
Right.
The games on there looked so much better than anything you could get out of consoles.
Mm-hmm.
That whole PC master race joke thing.
Yeah.
It was real back then because the differences were... The things that we squibble over now
yeah, right.
are laughable compared to the differences that you got on platforms back then.
That's true. It's very true. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But before we get totally into that, we are going to go ahead and go to...
Yeah, can you tell I'm dying to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. we will get into it because, I'm enjoying the new format. I think it's cool. And it'll give people something to really talk about, I think, afterwards, so...
Let us know.
Yeah, let us know about what do you think of the new format once it's all done, said and done. Not before. Listen to it first. I'm like, don't start writing your comment now. That's
I'm already sense. Actually drafting a comment for a Facebook page that says, fuck you!
It's like, damn it, Todd, don't you dare.
Shut up.
Shut up, Jamal. You're not gonna... Alright, cool. So, basically, let's get into what you've been playing. What have you been playing recently? Anything, out recently that you've been playing?
I haven't been playing anything on new systems.
Yeah, you've been playing a lot of old stuff.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, yes.
That game has gotten all over me.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote an article about it for the site last week.
Yep, yep.
The nature of it is just... Of that post is just... I don't know. I beat a dungeon... None of this really makes sense yet.
We're going.
I've gone through time a couple of times
mm-hmm.
now. I've been in prison.
Yeah.
The environments look at times really, really impressive for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the side-scrolling portions of the castle when you're in prison look very much like Castlevania, which I was like, oh shit, what if this is a Castlevania game?
Oh god, am I going to run to Belmont?
Yeah, I don't want to blow your mind or anything here. One of the most famous and sought-after games of all time, Chrono Trigger.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Pretty good game, that.
Pretty good.
Pretty, you know, one of the most famous games of all time with the... Chrono Chronicles, I believe. Yeah, that was the only other game, I think. Was it
Chrono Cross?
Chrono Cross, yes. Yeah. Chrono Cross is the only other game that I can say that was of, you know, like... was that the only other game of that franchise? Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's it?
God, no, like, Game Boy games or anything? Wow, jeez. That is surprising.
There are a few franchises that Square's put out over the years that some of them, like, arguably that don't deserve it get sequels, and other ones really don't ever get touched again.
Right.
The PlayStation era saw a lot of sequels of Super Nintendo era Square games, just because they were riding so high on the cash cow.
Sure.
But everything's changed very quickly.
Yeah.
And that's when you started seeing just a lot of re-releases of old games with the CG cinema at the beginning, like that Chrono Trigger that I'm playing.
Right.
That was, if you think about it, that's when the movie came out, and that's when Square lost about $100 million.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Final Fantasy movie changed a lot about Square Enix as a company. It almost killed it.
Yeah.
And has informed a lot about the way that they have done business since then.
Yeah.
It was kind of like the height of their opulence.
Yeah.
Where they just thought, well, we'll just fucking take a shit on this DVD and you'll love it.
You'll love this.
And, yeah, but, you know, just it's always weird how what game Square decides to make sequels to. Like, there were several Saga Frontier games, and those blow dicks. But, like, you know, you only made two Parasite Eve games?
Yeah.
Those games were fantastic.
Yeah, Parasite Eve's
really... You ever played that?
I did play Parasite Eve way back in the day.
Fantastic.
They were cool games. I kind of chastised them early as being like kind of like ripoffs of Resident Evil, and
but they weren't.
And yeah, my buddy was like, no, it's really good, and we played through those games. They were awesome.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
They were cool games. I dug them.
You know, if there are two franchises that Square has the rights to that I would really like to see them revisit,
mm-hmm.
And one of these is actually tied to a news story.
Yeah,
is Fear Effect.
Okay.
And Parasite Eve.
Yeah.
Right. Fear Effect is actually an Eidos game,
mm-hmm.
but Eidos is now under the Square Enix umbrella.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, they launched a campaign to see if they want to launch a Kickstarter campaign for people who want new entries in the Gex series.
Oh, that's right. It was
Fear
Gex,
Effect.
Fear Effect, and... Oh, man.
Was it Legacy of Kain?
No, it wasn't Legacy of Kain. It was,
it was the third game.
Oh, I can't remember what it was. I'll have to look that up, but yeah.
It's dumb.
I do remember the Gex thing. I kind of want to write it on the Gex thing. That would be phenomenal. I want a new Gex, damn it. He was rude and crude, and he hated, and he was all about television, I think. What was his deal?
I think it was only one of the games where he was winning. That was Gex Enter the Gecko.
Right, yeah.
Where it was all, like, movies.
Yeah, it was like movies, and like the guy wanted to just. I remember
he
like.
He wanted to be James Bond.
In one. Yeah, like one.
Not to be confused with James Pond.
Yes, no, James Bond. I remember the villain wanted to destroy all of television. Like, he wanted to destroy all of media. Something like that.
I was just going to say the Gex fucking sucks shit.
Oh, yeah, it was garbage, don't get me wrong. But
one of the worst.
Oh, yeah. Just one of the stupidest, like least appealing IPs since Booger Man. You know, just, not good.
Fuck Gex.
Fuck Gex. I still want to enter it, though.
Vector Man, Booger Man.
Vector Man! That's the one I was thinking of. Vector Man, yeah. Oh, boy.
Gex, Blinks the Time Sweeper.
The Noid.
That game was okay.
It actually was pretty okay. Yeah,
I also like the MC Kids.
Yeah. The MC Kids? The McKids? Yeah. That's right, yeah. That was all about doing drugs, too. Yeah. You know what stopped the Noid? You ever hear that story, why they stopped using the Noid?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That guy, like, fucking killed somebody.
Yeah, he actually never killed anybody. That's, like, the comment. He took four people hostage in a Domino's because his last name was Noid, and he had mental problems, and he assumed that they were talking about him.
That's awesome.
And the reason I laughed is because he didn't kill anybody. But, yeah, he, like, held, like, four, like, Domino's employees hostage in a Domino's for like 4 hours or something, and then was arrested. Like, oh, that's, boy. Ugh.
That's think, terrible.
Yeah, it was pretty. And then so they were like, maybe we should avoid this.
Maybe we should avoid this Noid thing. The Noid?
Maybe we should avoid that. Fun bit of trivia out there. I've actually been playing a game. I have been playing Rogue Legacy.
Which is fantastic.
It is a great game. That is a fun, old schoolish type game, very hard, very difficult.
How you playing it? Like the iPad or?
No, my buddy. It was for free on the PlayStation Network, and my buddy Tim, he called me. He's on a dig out in Florida. He's an archaeologist, and he called me up and was like, "Hey, that game is free right now. Go download it for me and feel free to play it if you'd like." And I was like, "All right, cool." I'd heard of that game before, and I was like, "It looked pretty fun." Watched a few Let's Plays
and shit.
Of it. Hard as shit, that game. It's great, though, because that's the point, is you just gotta level up and level up, and your descendant gets what you leveled up from, and then they get to level up their stuff from what you did.
So, you know what you need to play after you get done with Rogue Legacy?
What's that?
It'll play on fucking any computer. I mean, seriously, it'll play on a shoebox EF in the 80s.
Yeah, what's that?
FTL Faster Than Light.
FTL Faster Than Light. What is that?
Fucking incredible. You make a sweet-ass spaceship. You go through fucking space.
All right.
And people dock with you and fucking try to infiltrate your shit.
Whoa.
You can blow the hatch to throw people out of the ship.
What?
Fucking awesome.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
Oh, man, I want to play FTL.
I don't know how Rogue Legacy leads into that, but all right.
They're both that kind of roguelike.
Oh, okay.
That's... Trust me, once you start playing FTL,
okay,
it's like if somebody was to say, this Rogue Legacy, what if it was in, like, the fucking future? That's where that comes
from. That's what that is, yeah.
Yeah, all it's because, right, like, you die, it's over.
Okay, yeah, and then you just start over from there.
Blowing the hatch and, like, fucking venting fire and shit. Fucking awesome! Man, I want to be in space!
I want to be in space right now!
Dude, let's go in space.
I don't want to go to space.
I want to go to space.
I just want to go to the upper atmosphere. That'd be fun. Is that space?
I'm not satisfied with considering the upper atmosphere as space.
As space.
And we've made that clear on the
podcast. We have made that clear. It's been quite good. But yeah, that's what I've been playing. Rogue Legacy's fun. I'm going to continue playing that. I'll probably end up beating it. It's just a... I'll just turn it on for like a fun little romp or whatever. You know, it's like when I want to waste some time. But also played a cool little game. We're going to have a video of it called iDarb. # iDarb. I don't know what that means. It might be soccer related. I'm not sure. But it's like a little pixelated soccer game kind of deal. You just have a ball. You get into a goal.
I don't like iDarb.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed it. I had fun.
I played it for about 2 hours the first night it came out.
Right.
It's just kind of sucky. Like... Well, getting together people to play with it online is a huge problem, too.
I'm sure, yeah.
Because you can only have one person per Xbox and a maximum of two Xboxes.
Right, right.
And it's an eight-player game, so it's like, unless I have four people at my house and you have four people at your house,
right,
we'll never play an eight-player game.
Yeah.
So it just makes it, like, needlessly impossible for you to be able to group up. They did some cool stuff with the netcode, but that game also has, because it's such a fucking Twitch split-second kind of game.
Sure.
It also has issues with latency.
Yeah.
I've had guys just, like, fucking disappear. He was right here. Oh,
he's gone.
Scored.
Well, there you go. Yeah, we didn't play it online. It was just me and Eric local play, so probably a bit of a different experience. But I saw the eight-player stuff, like, on the preview kind of thing, and it looked like a headache. Like, I would never want to play that game that way. I will say that right
now. So it looked like Smash Brothers.
No, because I can track Smash Brothers. I know what goes on in Smash Brothers. I have a Smash Brothers eye, if I could say, actually. I can play...
You should have a TV show now, called Smash Brothers Eye for the Straight Guy.
Smash Brothers Eye for the Straight Guy. To be fair, I have yet to play the 8-player, so... I'd probably get lost in the 8-player in that, too. I don't think 8-player for that kind of chaotic-type game is a good idea. For iDarb, I could go 2v2. I could do 2 versus 2. That's about as large as I could get.
Do you know what's funny about Smash Brothers?
What's that? Why do you always gotta diss Smash Brothers every episode?
No,
but go on.
You know how those fucking GameCube adapters are impossible to find?
Right, yeah. For the double, yeah, those
things. I have one.
Do you? Yeah.
And I'm never giving it to
you. You're never gonna use it?
Never gonna use it? I'm never giving it to anybody? Fuck you!
It's in a vault in my room. Fuck that game.
A guy at work bought one, and he bought the controller, he decided he didn't want to wait.
Oh,
and
there you go.
He had already had it pre-ordered, and he knew they were going to be hard to get, so he's like, well, no, I got this. And he's like, that's if I knew somebody wanted it, so I at least know it went into good hands. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm a big Smash Brothers fan.
Yeah.
Sell me that. So I gave him what he paid for it. And
there you go.
Now I have that sweet Smash Brothers controller that I will never use.
There you go.
Sweet GameCube controller adapter.
There you go. Boom. Oh, well, what are you going to do? That's one off the market, people, that you'll never see.
And it's just me in my house going, fuck you!
You're just artificially raising up the price of that fucker from the later...
I'm just going to keep buying all of them that I see.
The resale value. You're just...
That just felt like the shittiest thing I could possibly do.
Just to wreck that.
I was like, you know what? That's $50 well spent. Fuck
you. I'm just going to wreck the resale value of this and make sure nobody can ever get it.
Yep.
There you go.
And it's not like I'm trying to do it to make money off of it, because I'll never get rid of it.
Never get rid of it. It's just to say F you to everybody else.
Anything older than 5 years, I never get rid of.
Well, the last thing that I technically sort of maybe played was that stupid Dragon Ball Xenoverse game. I don't know why he brought that game over, but me and Eric were going to do a Versus video on that, and it turned out into disastrous results, of which we recorded, so that will be going up on the site as our first look at Dragon Ball Xenoverse. That is,
I thought we had Dragon a pretty Ball strict rule against fucking anime on the website.
I don't think we did. We never did. You wanted to watch the anime for Persona 4 on that website.
Because it's about Persona 4. Fuck you.
But it's an anime. I would be okay with that, honestly. We should totally watch that anime.
We should have a slumber party.
just have a big old Persona 4 slumber party. There you go.
But yeah, seriously, though. We should have an anti-anime policy.
Well, it's a video game, so it's not an anime. So
that looks like an anime.
It does, but it's a video game, so technically, it's within the rights. So
I don't agree with you at all.
Well, it's going up because we recorded it, I edited it, and I did funny things with it. So
fuck.
It's going up.
Well, enjoy that, everybody.
Yeah, enjoy our crazy romp through that stupid fighting game with an overworld. I do make fun of it pretty harshly. You might enjoy it. Anyway, but that's it. That should do it, I think, for what you're playing. I believe so, right? Is that it? Do you have anything else? It doesn't seem like you do.
I feel like there was something.
Probably. Any other old games you played?
I played like 3 hours of Bully for no reason.
Oh, really? All right, yeah, that's a good game.
You know what? That game's fucking awesome.
That's a good game. That's an old school good
game. We'll just end on that. Bully.
All right, Bully. Boom. Go
check it.
Go play Bully. That's a good one. It's probably banned now in every facet of everything.
It's got Jack Thompson all over it.
It does.
It's going to show up and say like, hey, man, this game's about beating up kids.
It's about beating up kids. You got to ban it because that'll make you really want to beat up kids. That's how that works. All right.
Did I ever tell you about that Two Live Crew song, Hey Jack, is about Jack Thompson?
Yes, I did know that. I actually did, and I learned that from off of a documentary about Jack Thompson and the video game industry or whatever. You know, lots more of those people out there now, you know.
If Luke can't stand Jack Thompson, fuck Jack Thompson.
Fuck Jack Thompson.
He's disbarred now and can't ever be a lawyer again, so.
That's true. He got reamed for that.
Yep.
He got reamed for that whole case. Yep. He got destroyed. Oh, man. So what's in the news? In the video game news going on? I know that
I got a couple of things.
Yeah.
It's been a couple of weeks since we have done this, so I'm probably going to be glancing over news from about a week and a half ago or so.
Right.
But
one of the things that I'd say is Valve is releasing their new piece of hardware pretty soon.
Two new pieces of hardware. Their controller is finally going to be coming out.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that controller.
Which, curious to see how that finally does turn out.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Sneeze there. Just because, like, I would never play a shooter with that thing, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they showed people playing real-time strategy games with it, and it seemed viable.
Right.
That could potentially be cool.
Yeah.
Because there are so many people that I think would really enjoy games that are real-time strategy games.
Right.
You know, people that like Civ would probably really love something like StarCraft, but just the idea of gripping all those controls is just a little much. So if they could find a way to easily set up macros and stuff like that so that this thing could work fast and easy,
right?
I think that controller could be really cool.
Yeah.
But the news about that is being lined up with the Valve Steam boxes,
right?
That are officially going to be coming out with the Valve OS, which is their version of Linux and all that other stuff,
right?
And their VR helmet.
Yeah. Yes.
Now I'm curious about this helmet.
This is like the Oculus Rift that Valve is developing.
Yes,
basically.
This is their version of the Rift.
Yeah.
The interesting thing was, I thought this was canceled because I guess about a year ago they cut off about half that team.
Really?
But apparently they did that because they formed a partnership.
Okay.
With, I think it's LG.
Okay.
To make this headset a reality.
Okay.
So there's a good chance that a lot of their hardware team was cut off.
Right.
So that their software guys could worry about this and then farmed out the hardware end of it.
Right.
Which it could be cool. I don't know. I still don't think I ever want one of these in my house.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Right.
Like,
I don't know what I would do with it either.
The idea of a fucking adult in their house with a dumb helmet on and headphones. Like, imagine if you were married.
Right, yeah, yeah. And
or, like, you have a roommate.
Yeah.
Imagine just, like, oh, I'm just gonna go fucking sit in my deprivation chamber for a while. Like, that just it seems weird to me.
The new Valve water tank.
Yeah.
Like a big...
it seems really weird to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's enough people out there excited. I think people are excited about this in the same way that people were excited when 3D came around this time.
Yeah.
Because 3D was unrealized potential because of technical shortcomings before. And 3D never splashed this time at home.
No.
It was barely a puddle.
Yeah.
But there were enough people interested in it because it was like realization of that.
Yes.
It's kind of like the same kind of attachment that I have with something like Skylanders. Because when I was a kid, I always thought, how cool would it be if my toys were real?
Yeah.
You know, I just always, that kind of kid fascination, it's why I like Skylanders.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, I think that's got a lot to do with it, because if you think back to the 90s, you had stuff like fucking Doom VR. I don't know if that ever came to your mall, if you ever had a chance with it. Doom VR was nauseating.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool. You stood in, like, these little hula hoop looking things.
I do remember that, yes. Yes, I didn't get to do it, but I remember I remember a news report going about it. Like, they did tours at malls.
Yeah. It did a nationwide tour in Oakland Mall up in Michigan where I lived.
Yeah.
They got it, and it was cool. It was expensive. It was, like, $5 for 10 minutes or something, but
yeah.
It was cool. But there's... It never went any farther than that because the technology was kind of ass.
Yeah.
And that's the nice thing about, you know, Oculus and stuff is that the tech seems like it's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But think about this. Like, one of the big things that I don't think they have solved yet, and I don't know if they ever will, HoloLens is probably close to this, is that, all right, I'm a flight sim guy. I think they're cool.
Right.
Say I go out and get a 100-button lever HOTAS.
Sure, sure. With a
How can I see it?
How can you see where that's at? Like, unless it's like fully contact sensitive and you've got... Because it doesn't come with gloves, does it?
No.
The Oculus Rift doesn't come with gloves.
No, it's just a head visor.
Yeah, so it's not going to recognize where your hands are at any point, is it?
No, and like you almost need it to be able to... Like HoloLens, for you to still be able to see through it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think HoloLens looks dumb, but it's probably the coolest one so far, because rather than just be like, here's a crazy 3D head-tracking device, it's, what if we make everything augmented reality?
Right, yeah.
And have 3D stuff in there, mm-hmm. but have this be something you can see through for augmented reality.
Right.
And I think when you look at... If HoloLens does come out, which apparently is coming out this year, and that approach to VR
yeah.
does actually take shape in the way that it looks like it will,
right.
I think you'll look at things like Valve's VR helmet, if it is like an Oculus Rift and Oculus and Morpheus from Sony, I think you'll look at all these and go like, these things are a fucking joke.
yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, the sure. other cool thing about HoloLens, we never did talk about HoloLens.
No.
Is that, did you ever see the Microsoft Room?
No, I did not.
Where it was like a 5-projector setup, and the idea is that, say you're playing Gears of War on the TV and you're in a burning building.
Right.
It will project flames
oh.
all over your wall.
Okay.
HoloLens is that.
Interesting. Okay.
So, like, that was step one out of this, you know, 3-step process. That comes to, I'm still staring at my TV. My TV is the delivery mechanism for the video game.
Yeah.
But when I am looking at the TV, everything else is on fucking fire in my house.
Right, yeah. It's just augmenting what you already see, rather than being a completely separate screen that you're viewing through.
So, yeah, and right. you're in space. There's just stars all over my room.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think there's... It doesn't work in every setting.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, yeah, you're playing certain, Halo yeah. and just everything else in the room is just green grass and then, you know, blue sky.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think it's enough to give you immersion. Mm-hmm. It's not... I'm not going to look to my left and say, well, there's that guy.
There's the guy over
That's
there.
That's just a painting.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not anything.
Right.
But it's just
yeah.
to give you more immersion.
Yeah, yeah. Just a bit more atmosphere of yeah. the game you're playing in, yeah.
It's kind of like how you're never really going to use... Like, if you have a 3-monitor set up in a racing game...
Yes.
The left and right monitor are your basically what's your doors...
Right.
Where your side mirrors are and stuff. You're sure. never really going to look at those, but it's just about immersion.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about sinking you farther into that experience.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, that ended up being kind of a longer conversation than I thought it would be.
That's
but
fine.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Kind of fuck VR, but I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, right? Maybe it's amazing. Who knows? Yeah. It would be the most amazing thing ever.
I've used an Oculus, and I know I don't want it.
Yeah, yeah.
The cool thing about the Oculus is that the Oculus, that approach... only works for horror games.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That'll scare the dick off you.
Oh, I'll bet, yeah. If I played any of those, PT on that game, on that system, that'd be amazing. Ugh, screw that.
Yeah.
Let's hope Guillermo del Toro and Hideo Kojima don't get a hold of that one, so, in any way.
Well, Morpheus is Sony's headset, so...
Oh, Lord, yeah,
you
right.
know that'll have that.
Yeah, you know he probably will. He'll do all sorts of weird shit with that.
But I don't know. I guess if that... Maybe if that stays a Sony exclusive, that'll probably be that way. But I don't think Silent Hills will be a Sony exclusive.
Right, yeah.
I mean, they haven't said that, and I think they would have, because they keep saying, PT is exclusive.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that main game will be kind of on everything.
Probably.
But who knows?
Yeah.
You know, by that point, we'll all own all the systems, and it won't matter.
Yeah.
Because that game's probably still 2 years away anyway.
Yes. Agreed. Agreed. It probably is. So what else happened in the news today? Did we talk about Sega basically being out of business just yet?
We touched on it last episode. Like, I don't really want to drive it too far into the ground. But
I don't remember
what's,
talking about it.
We did a little bit. You know, the only profitable venture that they have are the Total War games.
Yes.
It looks like Alien did okay for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they'll ever make another one.
Yeah.
I kind of hope they do.
Okay.
I didn't love Alien Isolation.
Right.
But it's like one of 2 decent Alien games ever made.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that really loved it.
Right. True.
So.
The reason I brought it up is that one thing I checked when browsing the news is that Sonic Team, is pushing forward with making more Sonic games for consoles, and that's a bold step considering the fact that Sonic Boom was an absolute bomb in every way, shape, and form.
Yep.
It absolutely blew the bottom out of that team, and I don't see how they have any money. Granted, it doesn't seem like they spent a whole lot of money making the fucking game, if you've seen any Let's Plays of that thing, or played it yourself, but I don't see how they made any sort of profit or any sort of venture to... I don't see how it grew any legs for them to make any kind of venture to do any more Sonic games. Period. I'll
say this as anecdotally.
Yeah.
I work part-time for a games retailer.
Right.
And I'll say that Wii U game didn't really move.
Yeah.
That 3DS one did.
Okay. The 3DS one... I heard the 3DS one was complete, actually. That it actually wasn't broken.
It was like a video game?
It was like an actual video game and wasn't broken as shit.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah, but I'm not saying it's true. That's what I heard. That one was actually a completed game, whereas the Wii U one was not.
I have my doubts.
Yeah, I have my doubts as well. I don't know if that's true or not. Didn't play either. It looked painful, and I didn't really want to inflict that kind of... sorrow into my
life. Eyes.
The pinks and the reds. Oh.
Fuck.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's. I guess that's kind of the news.
Yeah.
Like it's that weird slow period.
Yeah.
Like, DICE was a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. I didn't hear anything earth shattering come out of DICE. I have heard quite a few people say that Unreal 4 is about done.
Okay. Wow.
The engine
for it, yeah.
I've heard that's getting very close.
That's been in development for how long?
Several years. Batman runs on it, and Batman looks unlike anything I've ever seen before. Batman's rated M for mature. There's another piece of news.
Yes, there's another piece of news.
That game looks like, from a technical perspective,
yeah.
I think a lot of the gameplay design decisions they've made for this looks like shit.
Right.
I don't think this one will be very good.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I think the jumping out of the car thing's cool.
Yes.
I think all that tank stuff looks like shit. There appears to be a lot of it.
Yeah, the car part, I think, looks great.
Yeah.
The tank part, not so much.
Just appears to be a lot of it. I see that tank a lot.
Yeah, they seem to be plugging in a whole bunch. Oof. Yeah. Because there's one thing that's awesome about the Arkham series. It's going down there and punching thugs in the face. Not Spy Hunter, you know, launching rockets out of your car. Out of your spy car. It doesn't, you know...
I have one question, like... Coming out of Shadows of Mordor?
Yeah.
Which I think does that style of combat better than Batman?
It's pretty rad, yeah. Right?
Better work on that Batman combat, because... Shadows of Mordor... I've said it before. That game is incredible.
Yes, yes. One of your top games of that year, actually.
You know what? The farther I get from last year,
yeah,
I feel like that game might have been number one.
All right, there you go. You were dancing around it. You were dancing around that being number one.
That game was great.
The further you look back, you're like, yeah, that's the one.
My memory is just warm. Warm memories.
Just a big... huggable, warm memory of that game.
It is a anime body pillow.
Douche. Douche. Oh, douche. I'm going to get you an anime body pillow of douche.
That'd be all right.
That'd be okay.
But, yeah, like, you know, Batman being rated M, I think that's probably a good decision.
Yeah.
You know, because there are franchises out there, like Halo, that don't go hard M.
Yeah.
That still appeal to a wide range of, you know, people.
Right.
And, you know, if you've got a game that's rated M for blood and, you know, suggestive language or themes, and that's why you have an M, you know, like, informed parents will look at that and go, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoop-de-doo. It's Batman. Yeah, you know. It's like, you're not going to be... You're not going to be fucking any prostitutes as Batman.
Oh, if you're a parent that let your kid watch The Dark Knight,
yeah,
you're probably going to be okay with
it. You're probably going to be fine with
that. Because that game, exactly. I mean, that movie was very dark.
Yes.
And dealt in mature themes. And, you know, if your kid could survive that, there's a good chance that he'll probably survive this.
Yes, agreed.
But, yeah, that's kind of the news.
Yeah,
I would say it's slow period right now. You know, GDC is... in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Do you have any fruits or vegetables with you?
I do not, no.
2 weeks.
Well, I don't know.
How long will you be staying?
Yeah.
2 weeks.
What is that from?
Total Recall.
Oh, yeah, I... See,
2 weeks!
That's one movie that just kind of escapes my...
What?
My memory of things. Like, I'm gonna need
more hands!
I remember a few things like Quaid, you know, stuff like that, but, you know...
I got 5 kids to feed.
Five kids to feed. I guess I need to go back and watch that movie.
Fucking incredible.
Yeah, that was one that just kind of missed the mark for me. I don't know what it was.
It's a Paul Verhoeven classic.
It is a Paul Verhoeven.
I mean, if you're a RoboCop kind of guy, if you're a Starship Troopers kind of guy.
RoboCop hit me in every possible good way.
Right in the cockles.
Right in the cockles of the heart. And, yes, and Starship Troopers, absolutely. Most
incredible.
Yeah, absolutely incredible movies. But Total Recall just didn't hit me. I don't know what it was. I'll go back and watch it, though. I'll give it another chance.
Strongly recommend.
Yeah, I'll give it another chance.
That new one, though. Woof.
Oh, what? Really? Yeah, I'm not even going to entertain that. It's like that new RoboCop.
Not going to watch it.
Oh.
I got horrible news the other day. I was almost considering maybe possibly taking a look at that newest RoboCop movie.
Right,
Do you know what I heard?
What'd you hear?
Clarence Boddicker's character, not in it.
Not even in it. No, Clarence Boddicker's character is not in that movie at all. Yeah. I know, right? I guess they figured they couldn't possibly mimic him, so...
Is Dick in that movie? Dick, you're fired!
No, Dick is not in that movie.
Have I ever done my Dick impression?
I have not. I don't know. Have you ever done it? Was that your Dick impression?
Well,
the guy who fires Dick. Yeah. You just did it.
That's probably my favorite line.
It's pretty good.
I just want to make sure I'm not using the same material every week.
Oh, it's pretty good. No, I don't think you ever... I don't think you ever used that one. There you go.
I fucking love RoboCop. Anybody that knows me...
That's a good-ass movie. Yeah.
Like, I will go on the campaign trail right now. Anyone that knows me or has had any prior knowledge of me as a person knows that I stand up and respect the RoboCop whenever given the opportunity. And from this day forward, only the original RoboCop will be played in my house. And I pray that you do the same. Or may God have mercy on your soul.
Agreed, sir. Agreed, yes. That's a campaign platform we can all get behind.
Quite Haas honestly.
2016. Haas 2016. RoboCop.
A change we can believe in.
A change we can believe in. Oh, boy. All right, so...
Been oddly political today.
A little bit. It's been weird. All right, so, given all that, I think that's a good marker to move on to our topic of the day, which is our old-ass game.
Yeah.
Of one. I had never heard of this game till you mentioned it to me. This is one that just went under my radar when I was... Because that was right... Interesting enough, I never owned a SNES myself. I never owned a NES. That was my brother. It's my brother's, technically. He got those for, you know, his birthday or Christmas, one of the two.
Bar mitzvah?
Yeah. My first console that I got was for my birthday, which was the N64. My parents were very gracious. Got me an N64. I played that thing all summer. It was fantastic. I had friends who had PlayStations. So, and of course, I wasn't any sort of ridiculous hater. I didn't like hate, you know, didn't put any hate on it, but I'd always go over to my friend's house and play PlayStation games. That one game, was not one of them, but it really reminded me of those games. Like, it just reminded me entirely of that era. That era of, you know, first generation Soul Reaper games, the first Silent Hill type game, that graphical era of gaming, you know, stuff like that. So, what was your experience with that game?
Okay, I heard about one from the PlayStation Magazine.
Right.
In those days, this was, you know, pre-internet enabled consoles, so I had a subscription to the official PlayStation Magazine.
Right.
I had a subscription to the Dreamcast official magazine.
Right.
And I had a subscription to official Xbox magazine. Mm-hmm. Like, all sorts of stuff around those periods. Whatever was going to give me a demo disc.
Right, yeah.
You know, looking back on it now, like, official magazines push a lot of schlock.
Right.
But the great thing about those is that they give you a demo disc.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, give you the opportunity to play a game prior to, you know, having to drop a bunch of money on it. Or go out and, at that time, it was like $7 to rent a game from fucking Blockbuster.
Right.
At that point, it's like, I might as well fucking buy the thing. Because it's going to be late. I'm going to have to pay a late fee. I'm going to have to pay the extra rental. Fuck this. By the time I know it, I paid $20 and I could have paid $40 and owned it.
Yeah, it's true.
I fucking hated renting games.
Right.
I still hate renting games.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it.
Okay.
So I was, instead of dumping any money into rentals, I would just buy official magazine subscriptions.
Okay.
So for like $20 a year, you get the official PlayStation magazine. Yeah, the reviews are probably not to be trusted all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, it blinks the time sweeper. I don't think it's that good.
I don't think that's...
You're giving it 8 out of 10. I don't know if I trust that.
For blinks? It's around the 7 area, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to attack the legend of Juju.
Hack the legend of Juju.
I think that's probably a better game.
That had Patrick Warburton in it.
It did.
It got points for that, you know.
Patrick Warburton in about anything that'll give him a hot meal.
Yeah, pretty much. he'll voice anything as long as you buy a mistake.
You're like, hey, Patrick, you want to be in a game? It's like, it's the catering luck.
Sure. That sounds like fun. What's the catering luck?
Hey, Peter. Hey, Peter, man.
Hey, Peter.
But yeah, like, so I, in 1997, received one of the demo discs from PlayStation Magazine.
Right.
And one of the games that was on there, well, there were two games that I remember from the same fucking demo disc for some goddamn reason. One of them was Medieval.
Okay.
Which was fucking incredible.
Right.
Sony first party game.
All right.
We should play that in a future episode.
Okay.
Medieval is awesome.
Medieval, okay.
That's like a third person, like, cutting dudes kind of game. Crazy, goofy sense of humor.
Right.
Very British.
Right
on. And the other game that really caught me was One.
Okay. One.
You were a man with a barcode on the back of your head.
Yep. Loss of memory.
If it wasn't for the back of the box, you would never even know that you had a barcode on the back of your head.
No.
At the beginning of this game, you were standing in a hallway and it's, go, 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 go!
Go, go, go! Helicopters are shooting at you from all angles! Ah!
The game has a variety of ways that it paces levels. And the thing I really liked about that was that it was almost harkened back to Super Mario Bros. 3.
Right.
Mario Bros. 3 had paced levels.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It had move at your own pace levels.
Right.
And it was a good indication that, like, the levels where you could explore was probably stuff for you to find.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of this is... well, let's get a little bit more basic before we go into a little bit too deep.
Sure.
Your main character, you move at 360 degrees. It's a dual analog game. If you flick the right stick, you can do a backflip, which is kind of cool.
Right.
Helps you in combat. It is a third-person shooter.
Yes.
You have a double jump.
Yep.
And the shooting mechanic...
has an auto-aim.
It has fairly generous auto-aim, but
right.
the first thing that jumps out in my head as to games that are similar to it in shooting is probably Die Hard Arcade.
Okay.
If you ever played that,
okay.
That is a third-person shooter of the time.
Okay.
Where...
That's not the top-down shooter, correct? Because there was a top-down shooter, Die Hard.
No, this is the third-person one.
Okay.
It was what rolled into Die Hard Trilogy.
Okay,
for the PlayStation 1.
Yes, I do know,
the
yes.
first... the first game is Die Hard Arcade, and that's where you're in Nakatomi Plaza.
Right.
And that's a third-person shooter. There's no lock-on. There's no strafing. This is pre-Z-targeting,
mm-hmm.
Where that became the thing.
Oh, yeah.
But this, you know, pretty generous auto-aim on there. And the nice thing is your gun levels up based on the enemies that you kill.
Right.
There's a little weird green circular... meter in the bottom, that's your health meter.
Yeah.
And it starts off as a full circle.
Right.
If you get shot, it starts to chip away.
Yes.
Now, as you kill enemies, it refills that meter, and if you overcharge past green,
yeah.
you go into yellow, and your gun changes from a green shot to a yellow shot.
Mm-hmm.
That's right?
Yes, yes.
Because right, I
green shot to yellow shot to red shot to blue shot.
Bad with colors.
Yeah, you're fine. Yeah, you're good.
I was pretty sure I was right.
Yep, you got it.
So yeah, and as you continue to charge, the lasers shoot faster, and they also do more damage.
Yes.
The game also has a really good melee to it.
Yeah.
I really like the idea, especially considering that game doesn't have a lock-on, when if somebody charges you or you charge them and you haven't finished them off yet, tap the circle button and bam!
Pop.
You just hammer them right on the head.
Yep.
It's an instant kill for anything other than boss enemies.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing about this game is that in the paced levels, it's usually you being chased by a dropship.
Yes.
The game has a very Blade Runner-y kind of aesthetic to it.
Yeah, very much so. As you said, it sort of looks like a game that would take place like 10 years before Blade Runner comes out. Like,
yeah.
You have
Deus Ex-y in the sense that it's right before we figure out how to just make new humans.
Yes.
And we're still augmenting existing humans.
Yeah, and we've got these cyborg people with erased memories and...
Yeah, and your guy is like half machine. His whole left arm is all a big robot arm with a gun built in it. Kind of, you know, Metroid-y.
Yeah.
It's...
The anti-grav ships, they look very much like Blade Runner things that we flying around.
Blade Runner, Terminator,
aliens and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of junky, kind of futuristic looking things, you know.
It looks like a future where we don't have a lot of money.
Yeah.
So everything's got a nice grit to it. It's one of the things I've always really loved about the PlayStation 1, especially now that I have this old ass TV.
Right.
I've got an old CRT that we're playing this on.
Sure.
So, a lot of the seams and textures and broken textures and stuff like that, you really notice on an HDTV.
Right.
It all kind of goes away, and it just adds more grit to this game. It looks like a very dirty world.
Yes, yes.
You know, the first level is you running down a platform in a warehouse environment, and there is a dropship on the outside of the building that's shooting in missiles, so you've got all kinds of rubble that will actually fill... what is more like a week akin to a track earlier.
Yes.
So instead of it being like a level, it's kind of like a side-scroller where you can move back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got like a nice wide track where you can dodge things and also, you know, jump over objects.
Mm-hmm.
You got a nice double jump. When you click it a second time, he does sort of like a somersault kind of tuck.
Yeah.
Which I like to help get you up onto platforms.
Yeah.
One of the things that was kind of rare for the era...
Yeah.
Is that if you get near a platform when you're doing a jump, there's a ledge grab.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Yes, there was a ledge grab. You grabbed it a few times. When you didn't quite make it all the way over, so that was a good help. What's interesting about that game is that when you open up, it feels like a rail, like a track runner. Like just like
you thought it was a rail, rail game.
A rail runner. As soon as I saw it, I was like, so it's like a rail runner, huh? And then you started kind of dodging, bobbing, and weaving in different directions. And it was like, oh, no, you have full control of that. You're just on a track right now, and that's the only platform you have. So,
and for the first 10 minutes or so, you didn't even know I had a gun.
Yeah, yeah. It was because it's just a helicopter shooting
at first,
you.
You're just fucking
you
hustling.
You gotta run, and finally you run into a bunch of guys and use your big freaking metallic gun arm. So
I love the way that it funnels you into arenas, and dumps fun amounts of guys.
Oh yeah,
The game is very, very difficult.
Yeah,
this game received reviews that were all over the fucking place.
Right,
it's very similar to a game that came out on the PS2. You ever heard of the game Red Star?
I have heard of Red Star, yes.
This is very similar to Red Star.
Huh.
In a lot of ways.
Okay.
Man, we should play Red Star sometime.
All right, we should play Red Star.
I think I own a copy of Red Star. Red Star's fucking fantastic.
We'll pull out Red Star, play some of that, too.
But yeah, this game is it's very similar to that. It's very, very difficult. And that's the thing that, you know, almost in like a Dark Souls-y kind of way.
Sure.
Where this game is very abusive. And a lot of people didn't like the trial and error approach to this.
Sure.
Especially because this game runs on continues.
Oh,
it runs on lives.
Yeah, it runs on continues and lives, which is not a... That was being phased out at that point.
Absolutely.
It was being phased out of gaming in general at that point. A lot of people were just tired of that whole that was becoming kind of hackneyed. It was all about save points, save states. Like, I'm saving it here. I have unlimited tries at this. I just have saved it.
It's not surprising that a generation later, you know, we had trimmed down the arsenal in games to you have two guns.
Yep.
And pick or choose whatever you want to have.
Yep.
And we have recharging health. Yep. So this is in an era that's, you know, this game was 3 years away from, well, 4 years away from Halo.
Yeah.
This already feels like a relic in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because it's just desperately clinging onto a lot of old tropes, a lot of very vicious game design.
Yeah, that's a good point. It is. It's kind of that one of the last of its era type deals. It very much so. Yeah.
I think this is one of the best looking PlayStation 1 games.
Yeah, yeah.
Raw technically, maybe not, but I think it has some of the best level design.
Right.
I think it has amazing ship designs for all the dropships.
Yeah.
I love the way that the lighting works in the game. Yeah. I love, especially in the opening level when you're running down that ramp and explosions are going off, all the lights start to swing.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect the lighting. The system's not powerful enough to render the real-time lighting in that way, but it just gives you this feeling that, like, this whole building is getting shook.
Yeah.
In a lot of crazy ways. It sounds great.
Yeah, and in the area of art design, you know, it's hard to make polygonal-type graphics like that look pretty. So
when they're that rudimentary.
Yeah, when they're that rudimentary and everything. So to go in the direction of, like, making it look gritty, making it look very dirty and filthy and just kind of desolate with its destruction and everything, it lends to that look. Also, the explosions just look so rad. Like so big and powerful and thrusty. And it's just, along with the sound, as you mentioned, the sound is just a big boom. And you feel really satisfied when you blow up crates! Tons and tons of crates all the time. And
explosions in games, like anybody that knows me, like if there's a man and there's a barrel, shoot the barrel.
You shoot the barrel. You never shoot the man.
Exactly. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff in this game. I fucking love environmental destruction. If you let me blow anything up, I'm going to blow it the fuck up. And I'm a big sucker for that. We actually played a little bit of Black earlier. We were doing some test stuff trying to get our second capture system set up with varying results. But yeah, we played some Black and shot a lot of stuff up. So
yeah.
You know how I am about blowing shit up.
Yeah.
I think the explosions look great in that game. I think you know, it does a really good job of distinguishing what's explodable and not, which is nice. I equate that to almost like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Yeah.
A few frames before something's going to get picked up off a table, it changes colors.
Yes.
Because they moved it from a static
from the static cell, and they moved, or from the static background to an actual animated cell.
Yes.
And you know that that's going to be actually moved.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I love that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And I just think one looks incredible. One of the things that I thought was really crazy is that I think it's overseas it was shipped and distributed by Take-Two. Over here it was distributed by a company called ASC Games.
Mm-hmm.
But it was developed by Visual Concepts.
By Visual Concepts, I was not familiar with that name until you told me what else they did.
And they are a very famous team that actually is now owned by Take-Two.
Okay.
This is the 2K team.
Yeah.
This is the NBA and NFL 2K fucking team.
Yeah.
This is one of the most brilliant sets of minds in video games.
Right.
Year in and year out, the NBA 2K series is just one of the most heralded sports games in the world.
Right.
And there's a reason why. And you can look at this game and say, wow, 2 years... Less than 2 years before the Dreamcast came out and NBA and NFL 2K blew everybody's fucking mind, that team was making this crazy-ass game. That is so cool.
John Kane and his explosion gun. Oh, and, man.
I think the lineage of this game is very interesting. They will never make another one.
No. This is precisely a one-game experience.
Well, I mean, what do you call the next one?
Yeah.
Two.
You call it two. They call it 1-2. 1-2-3.
1-2.
1-2. 1-2-3. Oh, that'd be great. That'd be right. Actually, I want it to happen now. Just to see what title they give it.
And then the final game of the series, just call it Dalmatians, because it'll be the 101st game of the series.
That'd be all right, yeah.
It's a terrible joke.
I like calling it the second one. The second one. Yeah.
That's actually really good.
That's all right, yeah. I think that's pretty good.
33 and a third
after that, yeah. Oh, man.
I love one. I'm actually glad that I had an opportunity to share my love of that dumb game with you.
It was cool.
Here's a great thing. If you're listening to this for the first time, I recommend going out and checking out a couple of YouTube videos of it. And if you want to buy this game, it's like $1. It's the cheapest game in the world.
It's $1 for one.
That's the great thing about this series that we're going to do, is that I don't want to go out there and talk about Panzer Dragoon Saga.
Right.
Because if I get you hot and bothered about Panzer Dragoon Saga, and you want to play it, it's $200.
Yeah. Wow. That's a $200 game?
It was the last Saturn game. One of the last three. Burning Rangers, there's another one.
When I think of Dragoon, for some reason, I don't fall back on the Saturn. I think of the PlayStation versions when they... Did they up to the PlayStation?
No, there was one on the Xbox.
It was the Xbox when that came around. Yeah.
Orta.
Yeah.
That game was phenomenal.
That's right, Orta. Yeah, that's right.
It was phenomenal looking.
It was a cool game.
You should play that sometime. That game's incredible.
Okay, yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, like I think one is definitely a game that's... you know what? I'm going to find out on the internet who at Visual Concepts worked on that game.
Okay.
And I'm going to write them a fucking email and say, we talked about you on this podcast. And I just want you to know, that shit was awesome.
That shit was amazing. I actually did love that game, because it's a strange amalgam of several different things: third person shooter, rail shooter,
platforming.
Tough as nails platforming.
But when I died, I knew it was my fault. I did that.
Yeah, it wasn't because you didn't have control of your guy or whatever.
It's razor sharp control. Mm-hmm. It's so quick.
Yeah.
I don't know what frame rate this game runs at, but for a PlayStation 1 game, it feels high.
Yeah.
It's very, very smooth.
The levels are also the destruction and levels of things, because, like, you know, like choppers will like shoot out parts of the bridge and everything that you're on, and you have to jump those. They're timed, interestingly. Yeah. They're not triggered. They're not scripted. Like, when you hit this point, that's when this part of the bridge blows up, so you have to punch now. No. You can fall behind, and that bridge will be blown up ahead of you, and you're fucked. You have to get to that point prior, or you can hang behind. It also sent...
At one time, we beat the timer, and all the shit was blown up behind me. I felt like Wolverine. Yeah. This is great.
This is awesome. As you kept going forward, and that's what was really interesting about it, was just the fact that, like, oh, okay, you can... It's a different experience depending on how well you did the last time, and it also creates this sense of urgency, because if you're doing very well, there's a shit ton of shit blowing up behind you, and you gotta run!
Go! Go!
It's a good sense of urgency that it creates, like, right from the bat. It's like, I can't imagine what John Kane is thinking, because he just woke up with no memory.
What?
And he's like, what the fuck?
Did I just get a tattoo? I don't want to know what happened with this gun arm.
I don't know what's going on with this gun arm. I better shoot some guys.
It smells weird. Where's this been? like I think it, one is definitely a game that's worth going back to.
Yeah.
And in the vein of this whole new venture for the Video Destruct podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's if you've got a PS3.
Yeah.
Any PS3 will play that disc.
Yeah. True.
It doesn't have to be a backwards compatible system.
Mm-hmm.
They sell it digitally on the PlayStation Network for like $6.
Do they?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
The PS1 Classics. The cool thing about PS1 Classics, they work on PSPs, they work on Vitas, they work on PS3s, nice. PS4s.
Right, so you could...
Not PS4s.
So you could take that on the Vita and just...
Play that anywhere.
Play that anywhere you want. There you go. A little portable one.
Go fucking scream the word fuck in the middle of a fucking subway tunnel. Fuck!
Fuck! Goddamn hovering helicopter missile bullshit.
What do you mean I missed that jump? Fuck you!
It was very much. You played through the first level. That was it. We played that for a little while.
We got near the end of the second level. We got to the checkpoint of the second level.
Yeah, the checkpoint of the second level.
Memory serves me correctly, I think there's only like 15 or 20 levels.
Really? Okay, so this is a short game then, yeah.
Shortish.
Shortish, because you have to beat them, so.
Yeah.
To get to the next
another one. Weird bygone era kind of thing that game had.
Yeah.
Did you notice when I went to save that there was a password option?
Password option, yeah.
What the fuck?
That's old as shit, too.
Is that game from like the 70s?
Yeah.
I just love that. I love the fact that this game just feels like it's a dinosaur.
Yeah, it does. That was the start of the new console war, the Sony versus Nintendo. It's
a weird comparison, but I feel like that game for me was important for the PlayStation's image.
Right.
Because I felt like on my Saturn, on my N64, and with few exceptions, not on my Dreamcast. There was nothing like this.
Right.
Granted, the Dreamcast was still about 2 years from coming out.
Right.
But it's like, systems of that era, I just felt like there was nothing like this anywhere else.
There you go.
And, you know, if you look at this game and you look at Metal Gear Solid, it's two completely different approaches out of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Metal Gear Solid was, this is a movie?
Yeah.
And one is, this is cinematic, but it's still a fucking video game.
Right, yeah.
And that's probably the strongest point I'll make about one is that is a fucking video game.
Right, yeah.
It does not pretend to be anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a video-ass video game.
That is a game videos right there.
That is, and that is one of my favorite PlayStation 1 games.
There you go. One of Haas's favorites. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I thought it looked fun. I kind of wanted to jump in, so.
And next time.
Yep.
We're going to play one of your favorite PS2 games.
We are going to play one of my favorite, stupid, terrible PS2 games.
You're going to hold the controller and explain to me why you like this bad game.
Why I enjoy a bad game. That's right. Next week, next episode of the Video Destruct Podcast, we're going to do Gungrave, baby. Oh, it's so bad. I love it. It's so bad.
According to Eric, you've beaten this game like 100 times.
100 fucking times I've beaten that game. Oh, dude. I'll get into why I love that game next week. But that's going to do it for this week's episode of Video Destruct Podcast in our new format. Please let us know what you think. I actually really enjoy this new format. It gives us time to narrow down something we want to talk about, be it a certain game or a certain topic.
And we'll touch on the news, but like I also feel like there's a lot of people out there talking about the news.
Yeah.
You know, I think if we come loaded every week with here's a weird thing that I've been playing or here's something you've probably never heard of.
Right.
You know, I think it's a fun new approach. It's different.
Yeah.
And you know, let us know. Comment on our Facebook page, send us a tweet.
Yeah.
Like me on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, like anything. You know, just let us know what you think about this approach. Let us know what games you want us to play.
Yeah.
And just be mindful of, you know, what I said earlier. Something that's not like $1 million, something, you know.
Yeah, right.
Because
we're not gonna play Little Samson on here. That's not gonna happen.
I don't even know what that fucking is.
It's like a $1,000 NES game. It's completely rare.
I'm not going to play the Nintendo World Championships cartridge on here.
No, we're not going to play those cartridges go about as much as a car.
So
it's like, and it's just Rad Racer and Mario. Yeah. So,
and it's not even the whole game.
No, it's just like collect 100 coins and then.
I almost bought one of those Donkey Kong World Championship things a few years back.
Okay.
There was one complete in box for $300 and I was like, man, you never see these.
Yeah, interesting.
But no.
Yeah.
No.
They have reproduction carts for like $20. They have like reproduction carts of that game. So, yeah. But yeah, I think this is a fun. It's a fun little format. I had a lot of fun with this. I like playing one. It gives us a chance to experience new things and to tell new things. Because I never heard of one. And maybe a lot of people out there never heard of one. Now they have. So,
Here's a good question for next time.
Yes.
What's something else you want us to play? And if it's Colony Wars for the PlayStation 1, blink twice and I'll know you've been kidnapped.
I don't even know what Colony Wars is, and I still found that to be pretty funny.
Colony Wars is pretty awesome.
Okay, there you go. All right, then. That's going to do it for this episode of the Video Destruct Podcast. We'll see you next time.
New formats!